Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 45, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Touch me on me back, she say I'm Mr. Roe. Whoa, Brian. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles with the Miles, the Gray, Diggy, Diggy, the Daily Zeitgeist, the Daily. My name is Gray!
Anyway, that is from Noel Berlage, N. Berlage, at N. Berlage on Twitter. I think that one is from Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think you might be.
Okay, great. Let's start this off right.
I can't find the name of the person who gave me that, and I don't think they'd want me to shout them out because of my rendition. I am no Shaggy. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny writer, comedian, producer, and co-host of the Guilty Pleasure Podcast. Please welcome Jackie Ray Aubel.
Thanks, guys. Nice. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so psyched to be here.
Thank you for appearing before us.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Yes.
Anytime.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what they're in store for. We've got breaking news that Cohen flipped Trump's body man for 20 years. We're not really going to talk too much about it because we just know that he flipped. We don't know too many details, but yeah, that's happening.
He's cooperating.
We're going to check in with the VMAs, see how that went. Find out why they should have made me feel older than they did. They didn't make me feel that old.
Oh.
We're going to talk about Trump's coke problem. We are going to talk about the QAnon cult and how they're not really dealing very well.
Well, they are. They got a plan.
Right.
They got a plan
exactly.
To right this wrong.
We're going to talk about Russia attempting to hack right-wing think tanks and Microsoft coming out with that news. We're going to talk about ICE deporting actual Nazis, Attica, the sequel. But first, Jackie, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, sure. So last week, I was at an event at the Ace Hotel in downtown L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever been to any of these old Broadway theaters in downtown L.A.?
I've been to the Ace.
The Ace. So it's super cool. It's like really like gothic and like really cool. There's cool architecture. It's really fun. Put on my Instagram stories, hashtag architecture porn. My story got like thousands of views.
Wow.
So hyped.
Wow.
But the minute I was there, I was like, okay, this place has got to be haunted. Like, there is a ghost somewhere around here.
Oh, yeah, everywhere in downtown is haunted.
So, throughout the entire event, I was Googling Ace Hotel haunted, Ace Theater haunted. Could not find anything.
Really?
Surprisingly, not haunted.
How do you know?
I Googled for a solid,
yeah, but
like,
you Googled, but what did your ghost hunting intuition tell you when you were in the space?
Honestly, the devices that I take with me all the time,
right.
You know, those two, the EFP, the twing, the
yeah, you
the
have
big
one
tweezers.
Right now, you were
yep.
just dragging them over, me and Miles,
and you kept insisting,
general auras.
Kept insisting we were ghosts.
Right.
Exactly, but you guys, you know, I tried to go through a wall, and then you guys were solid, so
yep.
Your story checks out, you're actually physical human beings. I don't know, I felt like it was haunted, and I feel like there hasn't been accurate reporting done on the hauntedness of the Ace Theater slash hotel.
Okay.
So that was one thing from my search history.
There are haunted hotels downtown though, right? That people
oh yeah.
Yes. There's one where there was a woman's body
found.
Who was found in the water tank
oh,
after
yeah.
like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
That was wild too. Wasn't that where they had footage of her like wandering around too? Like
yeah.
she got off the elevator. Like
turned out it was bipolar disorder, is what they think happened. She's just
okay.
you know, mentally ill. So it wasn't as crazy as it looked at first. We researched this back in the day at Cracked, but it's still a weird story because they don't totally know how she got into the water.
Exactly,
tank.
Jack. So is it that cut and dry?
Yeah, so maybe not. But yeah, the footage is eerie at first because she's like jumps on the elevator and is like looking out like someone's following her.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. And who knows? Maybe mentally ill people are more in touch with ghosts than
think,
the rest of us.
You know, if not ghosts, there are also many bed bugs downtown.
Right.
So I would consider those a form of ghost.
Oh, for sure.
Because they will follow you home and ruin your home.
The cockroaches downtown are vicious.
Yeah, they are. One actually learned how to use a knife and robbed me at knife point. That's why I only have one shoe on today.
But you were not speaking from personal experience on the bed bug thing, just for the sake of your property value, right?
No. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
okay,
do
cool.
not have bed bugs.
And you have
right
not been
now.
Fighting that problem for the last
no,
6 months.
No, no. I wear this hefty bag around my body just, you know, as a sweatsuit going to the beach soon.
Yeah. And all those spots of blood that appear on your clothing, nothing to do with bedwetting.
I'm just doing like a Yayoi Kusama sort of type of paint experiment art piece, on my body.
We could all tell. Jackie, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Being vulnerable.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think that people should be more vulnerable when they're feeling scared or anxious and be like, I need a hug. Yeah. I think like we're so focused on putting on this hard exterior, tough exterior, that we don't need anyone's help. And I think that the world would be a better place if we all just admitted when we did need some help.
Yeah.
But like, what if you're like me and you just don't need help from anyone because you're always just totally
the best
cool.
at everything.
Yeah, the best at everything.
Knows everything.
That's a really interesting point because I've never been wrong. So in that way, that's...
Well, no, I think I don't want to talk over your point though, because it is such a good point. I do think like America in particular and the Western cultures in particular, a lot of the diseases that we suffer from, like addiction and depression and all these different things, are specifically diseases that like cultures where people are more socially integrated don't struggle with as much, because they're all about like kind of closing up and like keeping secrets from people and not like, you know, integrating with the people around you, not being able to ask for help, not like,
Oh, definitely. And I think it prevents us from like getting into deeper relationships because we're always trying to put on this front that we are actually way more cool, or we're acting what we think is cool than we actually are. Right.
And sometimes we don't need to be right. We just need to be loved.
Yeah.
You know?
And we can just say, I don't even need to win this argument. What I think I just need is a hug.
And in the case of you two, which you guys are never wrong,
right,
just being vulnerable will make people more comfortable around you.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I still haven't sold my MoviePass stock, because the truth will emerge.
Oh, we're going to be so rich, man.
Oh, dude, get ready. Well, I've already picked out the Lambo I want.
And bought it. So
and bought it.
Bookmarks tab things it's to bookmarks. Buy with MoviePass stock.
That's why I'm parking it here at work, so it's not attached to the registration address. Anyway, but yeah, we're doing fine.
Hey, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Can't pick both.
Ooh.
Gotta be one or the other.
Happy.
Am I right? Welcome to my self-help group. what is something, Jackie, that you think is overrated?
Oh, the Korean face masks.
The
scary
sheet ones.
The sheet masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just feels like there's a wet paper towel on my face.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay, and it like kind of makes my face sting a little bit. And I just don't think they do what they're promising that they do.
I see. What's your secret? You have very clear skin.
Oh,
you have nice skin. What are you doing? Mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise. Yeah.
Mayonnaise
baths for an hour.
Wow.
I fill up my tub with mayonnaise and I just roll around in it and I stay in there for a whole hour. No, I do a bunch of skincare that's all for preventing wrinkles.
So for you, it's just more that it seems more like it's popular just because of like the visuals of wearing the mask than like the actual benefits. In terms of a dermatological sense?
Yes. And also, this may very well be wrong, but I think they're way too cheap to be effective. Like, you can get them at Rite Aid for, like, $2.99, and it's like, that's not going to do anything for my face. Like, I need the skin mask
but
that's,
it's
like,
royal
75.
Jelly.
Yeah. We do need a slasher film made with somebody who's wearing one of those.
Wouldn't work, because the mask would fall off the entire time.
Oh, that would be part of their magical power, is that it just stays on. Somehow. That's what's so scary. It's like, wait, how are you keeping that on your face as they like lean over you to kill you?
That's
exactly a great pitch.
Yeah.
Thank you. What do you want to call it? Korean beauty mask killer.
But my wife wears those and it is the most scared I've ever been, like by someone just like, you look up and like, she doesn't like tell me when she's about to put one on. So I just like turn around and it's a really scary, like people should Google image search it you're just suddenly faced by, it's like a blank mask, like a totally blank.
There's no face.
No face, like unexpressive. It's got like a Michael Myers vibe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it doesn't, unlike other face masks, if you put them on like the cream ones, like it gets the contours of your face.
Right.
You can see the face behind that.
Right.
But the Korean skincare mask.
It's just a big circle with
people,
eyes, nose, and mouth holes.
I'm surprised people haven't tried to rob banks with them yet.
They should. Yeah. In our remake of Point Break, will be what we wear.
But it's the graphic ones that I'll be the panda face.
Right.
And you can be the like Shogun helmet.
I think they should just all have some graphic on them to make them less scary.
Yeah.
That's good. I haven't seen the graphic ones. But
if we do that, then they'll know when they look for the suspects, they're like, they're going to have impossibly flawless skin.
Right.
The proof is in the pudding.
Jackie, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
This is going to be, I do know this to be false, and I know a lot of people aren't going to believe me when I say this, but that Facebook isn't listening to you through your phone microphone. And I know this to be true,
They are. You know they are.
I know they're not.
You know they're not.
I know they're not. Okay. And a lot of my knowledge comes from this one podcast that I like a lot called Reply All on Gimlet Media.
Oh, yeah.
But also I do like social media for like brands and entertainment stuff as well. And I just have access into the Facebook page and demographics world and like all of Facebook's tricks. So like if you're hanging out with your friend and you're talking about like, I don't know, Blue Apron, and then you're like, I never Googled it, and then I went on Facebook and I got an ad for Blue Apron, and then you like freak out about it. It could be because you're friends with that friend that you talked about it with, and Facebook saw that the two of you guys were together and they were just Googling Blue Apron. So like, ooh, Facebook is serving you up an ad because they saw that you were like geotagged with your friend.
Holy,
does that make
shit.
Sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
I mean, when I notice it, it's usually on Instagram. And it's like within minutes of me actually being on a page for said service or product or something, where I'll look at a travel site or something, and then suddenly it shows up in my Instagram feed.
You got to clear your cache. You got to clear your cookies.
Well, you know, sometimes it helps me. It helps remind me. I'm like, oh, shit, I was interested in a lawnmower.
I don't mind a cookie. Yeah, because exactly. Like sometimes a jumpsuit I like will like follow me on the internet. And I'm like, you know what? I really want that jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. And that's fine because now I get a little treat. But I mean, just clear your cache and, you know.
Clear cash, keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
That's interesting, though, because it suggests that like Facebook has access to how ideas move in like groups. Like, you know how when you hear a word for the first time and then suddenly you hear it like three more times in the next couple of days?
Yeah.
Does that happen to anybody else?
Like impotent?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I had never heard ED used all that much, and then like
erectile
suddenly,
dysfunction?
Right.
Whoa,
and then suddenly I got to
whoa.
Know Miles, and it was like all over the place. No, but it is. I No, when you're talking about other people.
I know.
Okay. But I do wonder how much of that is just like social contagion and like ideas, or like, you know, people like you and your group of friends are like suddenly getting onto an idea, even though you're not like hearing it from one another necessarily.
Well, that's true. I think it's a lot that the algorithms serve you up stuff that your friends are also looking at. So they'll look to see at what rate are you interacting with this person. And they also have data. Facebook has data from Facebook Messenger and Instagram. So like all that data goes together and they just...
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Facebook is no less powerful than we thought. It's just not doing it the way that you thought.
No,
right?
In a
it's
much more calculated
it's
way.
Actually, it knows everything about what you are about to think of tomorrow. It already knows that. It just knows it in a different way.
And it doesn't have to listen to you.
Right.
But it's also very funny that people complain about it listening to them, but then they have like Amazon Echoes in their house.
Right.
And I'm just like,
yeah. Amazon Echo was used in a murder trial because people were talking about it and like the Amazon was listening and the police were able to just get those records.
I think we should pull that Amazon Echo into your sheet mask murder pitch.
There you go.
Because now we have a film.
The most millennial weird thing. It's a fucking Amazon Echo
the
wearing
killer's
a sheet
name,
mask.
The killer's name is Alexa. Yeah.
Alexa. Fantastic. All right, Zeit Gang, I know the people with the Photoshop skills who always do that.
Right.
Show me the Alexa wearing the sheet mask with a knife in hand.
All right, guys, there's a couple of breaking news stories that are happening. Like we mentioned, Cohen is apparently cooperating with the district attorney. So, I mean, this has been Trump's guy for years. He knows where the bodies are buried. We won't know necessarily what the implications are of this other than that it's just probably very bad for the president.
Well, we'll see what his Twitter looks like later today. And we'll know how even last night he was like, I can control the Mueller probe if I want. And you're like,
right.
Who told you that? Is that what they're telling you to get you to shut up in the White House? They're like, you know, don't worry, Mr. President, you can actually do whatever you want. And they're like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And then, he's entered a plea deal for like all of his, you know, fraud that was coming through his taxi companies and things like that, over $20 million in fraud. So, you know, he'll plead guilty to that and we'll see where that goes.
How the fuck, like, these guys just have, they're incompetent and they get so much money. It really makes white collar crime look very attractive to me.
Okay, remember, Dan Rather, we're just calling this crime.
Right. Oh,
no
sorry,
more
sorry,
white
sorry.
Collar crime. Crime's a crime. Criminals are criminals.
Right.
It's just because they're doing like cool, like rich white guy crime.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's just steal money.
Yeah.
But like without using guns or knives, just shoddy paperwork.
But they're not very good at it.
No, because I think the system has been such where like it's like we don't worry about them. Let's focus on, you know, drug addicts and other people who we can really be like, oh, this guy's bad and get him away, rather than people who are like just siphoning money out of, you know, banks or, you know, know, our tax structure, whatever, you know, take your pick.
I'm curious to see what Cohen flipping will actually do. I'm like at this point right now with the president where I'm like, I don't think anything matters.
No, I think everyone kind of is. I think I'm in the same boat. I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. In the beginning, I remember the presidency. I was like, man, thank God. Oh, he's fucked. Oh, man, you're going down now. No. I mean, again, unless his like part of his cooperation with Robert Mueller is something where he's like, okay, here's this thing that you need that puts it all together. But
what, like, it just seems so just like, yeah. I'm not able to grasp it, you know? And it's like kind of like just trying to hold on to smoke. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. And it makes me scared. Yeah. I'm being vulnerable.
Well, you know, as long as if the Democrats can take the House, and my goodness, if they can take the Senate too in November, that actually bolsters the check on his power a lot more than it used to
be.
That's true.
But I think you're right that people assume that Cohen actually knows where literal bodies are buried, and there's going to be this big reveal of a secret that gets Trump, and, you know, Columbo style, it's the end of the Matlock episode. And
one more thing.
Yeah, Trump is going to get fingered for like a thing that we didn't know about. And it's like, no, he's committing all the crimes out in the open, guys. It's just he's going to confirm what we already know. And then, you know, it'll be a technicality of whether they're able to blame him for it or not.
Yeah.
The other breaking news story, which is very sad, obviously, is that the body of that Iowa jogger was found in Iowa. And we don't know much about it, but that is the number one trending search on Google. So, you know, as a reporter on the zeitgeist, that is something that is in the zeitgeist. And having Googled it for you, there's not much that we know about it.
What happened? I'm not familiar with this at all.
She just disappeared, and we don't know anything, really. And I think that's why it's such a kind of intriguing story to people, is that, you know, she was just a random college student, went for a jog, disappeared, and it seems like everybody around her is just as confused as you would be if it happened to anyone you know. And then moving on to the VMAs, which everyone was talking about yesterday. So these happened. I was watching them out of the corner of my eye. That's essentially my report. These happened.
Great. Moving on.
So I felt like I was going in being like, all right, this is going to make me feel very old. It did not. The Backstreet Boys showed up during the pre-show.
What?
J-Lo performed for approximately 45 minutes because she was receiving a Video Vanguard Award. And then she gave a speech for what seemed like a half hour where she was just pointing to people in the audience and being like, Dave, stand up. Dave, you always believed in me. Thank you. Steve, you always believed in me.
What?
Thank you, Steve.
It was just Dave.
It was just
Steve.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was like names.
Tell him Steve, Dave.
It was like industry people that I'm sure like you might have heard of, but like me as somebody who doesn't really
Dave.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Right, Dave.
I'm in the industry,
Dave,
so
Dave.
Yes.
You are in the industry.
There's only one Dave. Let's be real.
There was a moment where it seemed like it might be like they teased this Post Malone performance of Rockstar, and it started out like a performance of that song, and then suddenly they were like, and now please welcome Aerosmith.
What?
And Aerosmith came in and started playing Dream On, and Post Malone just like played guitar in the background while Aerosmith played Dream On. So it was almost like
Aerosmith performed
as like the big moment of the thing. Like, because remember there was that Super Bowl show where Aerosmith came in and like did Walk This Way.
Your face right now.
I know.
What the fuck is Aerosmith?
Yeah.
And yo, get the fuck out of here, Aerosmith.
I know. But that, and Post Malone was,
hold on,
like really amazed.
Wait, I can't handle this. Fucking Aerosmith?
Yes.
Wow, I thought it was a joke. It's like, yeah, Backstreet Boys, J-Lo, fucking Aerosmith.
Yes.
I mean, Aerosmith is cool or whatever, but like, yo, the VMAs, I don't understand.
They did like 2 minutes of the song that people like right now, and then we're like, and now Aerosmith, ladies and gentlemen, is like, which it's interesting because a lot of people say that the reason that nobody buys tickets for new artists and everybody, like, still the best-selling artists when they go on tours are like the Rolling Stones and all these old artists that were around during the 80s is because MTV stopped playing music a certain amount of time ago. And it's like all the artists who were around back when people watched music videos and were like identifying with artists and like could like identify a face with a name more.
Right.
That is when MTV and the music industry had the power to get people out to shows. So maybe this is MTV sort of acknowledging, like, yeah, we don't really have anything new that we like or that, like, we think people are going to like. So
that's true, because I don't know what anybody fucking looks like anymore. Like when I just know, like, with rappers, I'm like, which face tattoo guy?
Right. So, yeah, they clearly are not confident in new music because they just kept throwing out all these people from back in the day. And the climax of that was when Madonna came out to, it was presented like a tribute to Aretha Franklin. There
was
a big photograph in the background projected of Aretha Franklin. Madonna walked out looking like she had a bunch of stuff from the movie District 9 glued to her face and torso. It was like a very, it looked like she, yeah, was about to do some sort of religious ritual.
She looks like a shaman.
From the world, from the universe of that movie. Yeah. Very shamanesque, like trash shaman, like literal garbage shaman. Like she went and created a shaman's outfit out of
it.
Yeah,
it was very a Moroccan vibe.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And I was a little bit like, really? That's a wave, I guess.
Yeah, I was fine with it. She's Madonna. She, you know, does her thing. But so then she got up and told a story that tangentially related to Aretha Franklin. That basically the story was, nobody believed in her, Madonna, and then she went to try out for a bunch of things and people wouldn't give her a job. Mm-hmm. She moved from Detroit, which is where Aretha Franklin's also from. So that
wait,
was...
Madonna? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, that or Motown, you know. And then at one of her tryouts where she didn't get a thing, she sang Natural Woman.
Okay.
By Aretha Franklin. She didn't get a call back from that, but the French producer who was there later called her and told her she wasn't right for the part, but that they wanted to make her into a star. And this anecdote, by the way, allowed her to show off her killer French accent. Like, this was clearly a famous person who's been famous for so long that whatever she says, people are just like, that's fascinating.
So she's
telling this, like, aimless fucking story that has no point. And that
she didn't test
only
it out.
Tangentially. So she literally says at the end, so why am I telling you this rambling story? Because if Aretha Franklin hadn't been, you know, a small, basically arbitrary part of my story, I technically might not have been there, although probably I would have just sung a different song. And
cool.
Who can imagine a world without me, Madonna? And then she closed it out by talking about how her first performance of Like a Virgin was at the VMAs, and somebody again told her, like, you'll never work in this town again, and enough said.
Right.
Am I right?
And in that way, she honors Aretha.
Right, exactly. It was like, what the fuck?
Cool. She, like, A to M'd that.
Right.
What?
It was just like, it had to be about Madonna for most of it.
Right.
And then Aretha Franklin was trying to get in there, but she couldn't stop talking about Madonna for long enough. And that's like what I expect of Madonna. So it was at least a memorable moment. A lot of the show was just people in sparkly shit just, you know, doing musical numbers.
Yeah. Madonna then later tried to, like, defend it, I guess I read it. She's like, I really wasn't trying to do a tribute. She's like, they sent me out there and just asked me to do an anecdote of anything I had. And she's like, that's what I had.
Right.
So, I mean, in that sense, I can see why it sounded like that, but
it's
also MTV. Yo, what are you fucking doing? Like,
right.
Put a proper tribute together. Don't be like, oh, sorry, Madge.
Right.
You got like a tight 90 on Aretha you can do?
Yes.
Well, that just goes, they don't care about music anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and also, has Madonna heard herself sing? She thought she could finesse Natural Woman in an audition?
Mm. Yeah.
Ooh. That is some confidence.
I had no idea the VMAs were the other night.
Yeah,
no idea. But I'm very happy to hear that Cardi B won Best New Artist.
Yeah, she did.
Fan.
And
rightfully
she opened
so.
The show by, it looked like she was coming out there and going to breastfeed on camera, but actually she was holding a VMA award where the baby was.
And did she breastfeed the award?
She didn't.
Oh, the Moon Man was left starving.
It was a real tease. but... Kevin Hart, you clearly do not pay attention to the right-wing media sphere then, Jackie, because
I'm so sorry.
Kevin Hart said a really benign joke about the president, and right-wing media lost their shit.
What did he say?
He said that people at the VMAs like run off to the bathroom an angry tweet, and it's just like being in the White House, in your face, Trump, suck it.
That's the joke?
That was the joke.
And right-wing media lost it.
And they were, it's still on Drudge. Comedian kicks off MTV Awards by taunting president. Quote, in your face, Trump, suck it.
Oh,
so
my heart.
I think the right wing is just used to, you know, they're not relevant, but they like pay attention to what is relevant. And they're like, well, the MTV VMAs, right. Like that's a thing that
and
people
then
care about.
How do I make myself a victim of this?
Right. And then they just find a way to, you know, they remember when Kanye came out and did the I'm gonna let you finish thing and that angered conservative white people very much because he was mean to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, and they wouldn't like Aretha Franklin, too. Did you see that clip that was going around the weekend where someone was interviewing her and they're like, Aretha, tell us your thoughts on Adele. She's like, powerful singer, great voice.
Right.
And like this, Alicia Keys, she's like, great piano player, great singer, blah, blah, blah. Taylor Swift, beautiful gowns, wonderful gowns, and then just moved on.
That is amazing.
She's like, okay, shade queen.
Oh, damn.
Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns.
Yeah, so the right wing was very triggered by that.
On Fox and Friends, they had a graphic with Kevin Hart's face, and it said, heart attack.
Uh-huh.
That's what
I don't
it
even
said.
Know what it for.
Was the most benign, like, inoffensive thing I've ever seen. So they were just ready for...
Anything.
Anything.
That's what they're ready for. Yeah. They're just ready to be offended.
Yes.
That's bunch just, of snowflakes.
Yeah, they've become the friends you can't take out. Because something, they're going to complain about something even has nothing to do with them. Like, I'll be inconsistent with my outrage, but I have to be in a permanent state of outrage.
I wonder if it's a strategy to just keep them relevant and top of mind, right?
Well, yeah, and it's also to keep making sure that the people who are aligned with their thinking understand what the sides are every time. They're like, he said this, and we're not that side. Mm-hmm. So we, remember, guys, circle the wagons because Kevin Hart said something relevant and said suck it, you know what I mean, and then that's how their viewers can be like, that's okay because I saw that and laughed, but I'm getting my cue from this show. Okay, this we're on a different side. We're on a different side.
Oh my gosh.
He will not suck it, Kevin Hart, you suck it. Also, Jackie, you pointed out that Pete Davidson looks like Steve Buscemi, and now I can't think of anything else.
He does look like Steve Buscemi. I feel bad for saying.
I'm
shipping that relationship.
Oh,
I
me
don't
too.
Wanna, I do not.
Steve Buscemi and Ariana Grande.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi and Ariana Grande. I think it's about time.
When
that,
will she wake up? all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to talk about the president's coke problem.
Can smell it through the bag. Can smell it through the bag.
Oof.
Oh, no, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the president having a dependency on Diet Coke.
All that aspartame.
Okay.
Yes, all that aspartame. We've talked before
should
about
rewrite
how,
some of my jokes for this.
I think we talked even yesterday about how a lot of the artificial sweetener panic that happened in the 80s was because they were feeding, like, in order to take in the amount of artificial sweetener that they fed rats that gave them cancer, you would have to eat NutraSweet by the like wheelbarrow full.
Oh,
right. And,
so it's like, well, nobody would ever do that.
Except
our president is doing that. Omarosa and her latest book,
book.
She has more
you
than
probably
one.
Read her first couple.
I did.
Her latest is about her time in the White House. And she talks about how she would put the average at 8 cans a day for the last 15 years. In her time knowing him, she said he never does not have a Diet Coke in his hand, which totals out to 43,800 cans of Diet Coke that he has poured into his body in that time. They say that your body completely replaces its cells every 7 years. So he is mostly Diet Coke, I guess, at this point.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, a can's 43,000. You got 125 milligrams of aspartame in a can. So I don't care the three. So he's ingested about 14 pounds of aspartame.
Really?
Yeah. Could you imagine eating a 14-pound bag of aspartame?
I can't imagine you just did math in your head.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd hate to play into the stereotype, but I am good with a calculator.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's actually ridiculous. But I also kind of feel like LaCroix might be killing us, too.
Yeah.
Well, what's in there, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Aside from the problematic CEO, every time I reach for the can, I think of those pilots and I retreat.
I didn't know LaCroix was problematic.
No, well, the CEO is kind of a kooky guy. We did a story on him. He was feeling up the pilots on his private jet,
ew,
like a bunch of times, and he's a very odd person. You know, this is neither here or there. We're talking about the president.
It's fine. I don't like that. So do you think he has like a diet can of Coke? A diet can of Coke, and in lieu of coffee or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think it's only he drinks.
I think it's the only thing he drinks.
So, like, no
literally
water.
The only liquid that he
We've seen him drink
in.
Water.
Have we?
Yeah,
oh,
like,
yeah, that one time.
Remember he held it like a fucking otter?
But he didn't
otter.
Know how to hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
he
that.
He was like, is this going to come apart in my hands?
Like, oh, God. Give me
also, he's just dehydrated.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because he infamously does not do drugs or drink alcohol or something like that, right?
Infamously.
Infamously. Yeah. That's the thing he's most known for.
Right.
Unless a doctor prescribes it,
right.
In which case all bets are off.
We do know that he used to see, back in the 80s and 90s, used to see a doctor who was famous for prescribing Manhattan socialites, just all the speed in the world.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
That would make a lot of sense of his behavior also. Although people are saying that even Diet Coke can contribute to dementia. There have been new studies that say that people who drink a lot of Diet Coke are more likely, like 5% more likely to suffer from dementia and
but
have
even,
strokes.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, those medical studies are, it wasn't saying that there was like a cause and effect relationship, but that when they observed that group. That,
and what was the study sponsored by, like Diet Pepsi or something?
Right. I mean, I don't know about that. I think it was done like
it was actually
sincerely.
The UK's National Health Service. So.
Yeah.
Which is owned by
but
Big
even,
Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yes. The UK is owned by PepsiCo.
By PepsiCo. Yeah, but I think, you know, but even then they're saying, they're like, we're not trying to say that there's a cause and effect, but we noticed this relationship.
I mean, who'd think that?
The thing that struck out to me was that in the Omarosa thing, she was saying that she would have to go make the Diet Coke runs, like go out to Sam's
this
Club
is the most
to stock
thing.
The fridge. Now, if
the
I'm not mistaken,
Sam's
you'd imagine that in the White House, being the president, even for this asshole, they would be like, what do you need in the house to be, like,
comfy.
Livable? You know, because it's not a fucking Airbnb where they're like, hey, there's a loaf of bread in there. You can have that.
Right. We'll
or
have
whatever.
It,
like,
we'll have it helicoptered in from the Coke Corporation. Like
in Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. That's why I was like, is that like a shade move to like be like, yo, go get my Coke at Sam's Club?
Right.
Maybe, like, I work in the Oval Office.
Right.
Or maybe he's just going through them so quickly the staff can't keep up.
Right.
They're like, we have him coming in on pallets. I don't understand. What, is he just taking one sip and then throwing it away? Does he always have to have the new sip of a can?
Oh, no. He has an IV drip that just is Diet Coke.
Good Lordy.
What does he do? So, because that is how he consumes a lot of junk food, right? Like
through
IV?
Will,
No, yeah, yeah. No. The, like, throwing most of it away and just taking, like, one bite or he...
I feel like... I don't know, for how big
pizza,
he is.
I think he doesn't...
He just eats the toppings.
Eats the toppings.
From one report we read.
Right.
He only likes...
He only eats the burger
what he calls
part of
the
big
good
Macs.
Part. The good part.
Yeah.
The good part.
I only eat the good part, which is the cheese and the fucking pepperoni.
I can't stop getting that one image of him climbing up the airplane. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, his booty's popping. Mm-hmm. Where, like, the wind is blowing. That's just in my mind right now as we're talking
about
his
That's why
diet.
I'm like, that's a dude who respects the sacrifice made for all those burgers. He's eaten those to completion, I feel like.
So this brought up a question in my mind because he basically eats 3 Big Macs a day is the estimate, like, on average.
But he's not eating McDonald's every damn day, is he? He just
I
eats it a lot.
So. He eats it a lot. And
I know the
he
campaign
can eat whatever the fuck
like
he wants. So, but it raises the question, if they're going to Sam's Club for Diet Coke, they're just going to, like, an average McDonald's, and it's, like, 3 guys with, like, earwigs and, like, clearly Secret Service agents being like, we need 5 Big Macs. And
These for you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, a teenager's probably
farting all over
it. Yeah, farting all over it, and maybe, like why? That just seems like such a wild security risk to be taking. Like,
his whole logic is, they never know when I'm coming, therefore they can't fuck with my thing. And that's how I stay safe.
Yeah.
That's always been the thing with him. And, like, because he's such a germaphobe that he feels like, well, they'll never fuck me over at
or
McDonald's.
Or maybe Diet Coke is an anti-venom for most poisons.
Right.
Wow. And he's just drinking it by the buttload because of that.
It kills the poisons. It's so bad for you, it actually kills all poisons.
It also makes me think that he's definitely had, like, a Sam's Club, like, burger or hot dog. Or something like that, just Omarosa picking it up on the way out.
Right.
Go by Costco.
Yeah.
Get me a chicken bake.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the same time, he's sending people to pick up his McDonald's. Like, we don't know if he can trust those people to not be like, this is for the president, man. Yeah. Or like, you know, and also those people probably hate him because he's like so mean to everybody. So I just have to think he's ingesting a lot of cum. But that's
definitely.
Me.
Oh, yeah. That's not through food.
Also,
though.
Pick a better burger. You're the freaking president.
Yeah, right?
Like, there's other options.
Yeah, we're getting mad now because, like, God like, damn I'd it, McDonald's drinking... still?
Right.
Have, like, a fucking, I mean, have you had the Bubba's brand? Frozen patties? Them shits cook all right for being frozen.
Yeah, maybe get some birch beer in there.
Oh, yeah.
Some, like, bougie-ass soda.
He probably, it's probably so disgusting because he's, like, a steak well done with fries, dude, even at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I was just listening to the last podcast on the left about the Iceman and like how he murdered people with poisons with what's the one poison that smells
cyanide?
Like almonds? Cyanide. And like it's I don't know, it's just
smells like almonds?
It's that's horrible. I love
yeah,
the smell
smells
of almonds.
And tastes like almonds.
Oh no.
I know.
But
oops.
It
well, I just drank a whole bottle of almond flavor.
well
I don't know. It just seems like he's really opening himself up, and I don't know. And also, when he does die of a stroke or like a heart attack, like there's going to be so many conspiracy theories because his followers tend to be the type of people who believe in quinoa or QAnon, as it's pronounced in some circles.
Oh boy.
And so, Miles, they are up in arms and they have a plan.
They, I mean, we've talked about the QAnon conspiracy theory. If you are somehow one of these weirdos who missed that show, QAnon is this very sad conspiracy theory that covers many topics, but one of them is that there's someone with Q-level security clearance who knows what's really going on with the deep state. And a lot of that conspiracy has to do with the fact that Robert Mueller is actually not trying to bring Donald Trump down. It's that Donald Trump and Robert Mueller are working together to bring down Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the pedophile sex rings that are out here.
Oh, this was the Pizzagate thing, right?
Well, and this is before Pizzagate.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
this is the newest thing. And it's starting to, like, at his rallies, more and more people are showing up with Q t-shirts, and like CNN interviewed him. We have an episode where, like, you could hear them basically, like a journalist is walking them through their own ideas, and then they're kind of like, huh. Like, a few people are kind of realizing how flimsy it is. But anyway, it's basically a security blanket for very scared Trumpers to be like, no, what is actually happening that is objectively does not look good for the president is actually it's a good thing. We just don't know because there's something going on behind the scenes that you have to read between the lines.
Right. Sure.
So this is not one of the Trump supporter conspiracy theories where it's like, well, we're never really going to know. It's one where it's like, it has a clear expiration date. It's like one of those cults where they're like, and the world is going to end on this date in like 2 weeks. And when it doesn't, you're like, well, you were wrong, because they think that once the Mueller investigation is over, it's going to be revealed that he was working with Trump the whole time, which is why some people think that the whole QAnon conspiracy was a left wing like troll.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah, like a fuck
I
you.
I mean, it would be brilliant.
It really would.
I mean,
it will be, because we are going to eventually find out that Mueller was not secretly working with Trump to uncover a bunch of pedophiles.
Quite the opposite.
So this is like, these people, as much as it's possible to feel sympathy for people, they are going to be proven wrong very publicly. And they're already like, oh God, man, I really need this to be true,
yeah,
bro.
So on 8chan, which is one of the internet's greatest message boards.
8chan, not
4chan? Yeah, this is a whole other one. Yeah, turn it up by two. Anyway, on 8chan, there's some QAnon people talking, and one person began this discussion about a lawsuit against the mainstream media because they're making us look stupid, basically, is what their argument. So I just want to read some choice posts on this message board. Wonkhead pulled some of these, and they are hilarious. So the first one says, this is, and I'm quoting verbatim, here we go. When this is all done, can we get a class action lawsuit going against the MSM for wrecking all our families?
Mainstream
no joke.
Media.
The amount of division and pain the mainstream media has caused is incalculable. Just got accused by my 67-year-old mother for spewing lies and aligning to a hateful ideology. Truth bombed her about Manafort being exonerated 8 years ago by Rosenstein. Truth bombed her about Operation Mockingbird. Truth bombed her about Oleg Deripaska, blah, 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 goes on. She then has the audacity to call them lies but can't provide evidence, just turns on me and tries to make me think I'm irrational. I'm serious. The MSM, they're responsible for this shit. How many families have been fighting for the past 2 years? Breakups, divorces, fired, estranged families, and ex-friends? Goddamn the mainstream media. I can't wait anymore. Let's just sue them now. So,
you know what? He's being vulnerable.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's true.
Yeah, he is being vulnerable in a way, right?
In a way.
But not being but he still has to be right, and he's still putting up the thing where he can't just own. He's like, he's not being vulnerable in the way that he can be honest with himself. He's like, look, I was very desperate to not believe this, and I feel really bad right now because I don't know what to do. It's, no, fuck the mainstream. It's not me. It's the mainstream.
Right.
Is what this is.
This whole conspiracy theory is built out of an inability to show vulnerability. They're just unwilling to be wrong about anything. And so they were Trump supporters. It's either that Trump is guilty or there is a massive, like, the Sting style operation that is going on where Trump is, like, playing the mainstream media and they cannot show vulnerability about Trump being wrong. So they have constructed this giant conspiracy theory based on a guy who just tweets stuff like the storm is coming. And they're like, see, that means like they.
Well, that was when Trump said that in front of a bunch of military families.
Right.
That they were like, oh, what is he talking about?
Right. Yeah.
What's he talking about? Anyway, so let me read a couple more.
Please.
Because then the whole crew jumps in to be like, let me regale you with tales of emotional trauma because of my belief in QAnon. There's another one. I'm sleeping on the couch again tonight because I had a flare-up. I hope this turns out to be truer than true. My wife wants to divorce me soon, possibly, because she thinks I'm in a cult group for reading this stuff. It sucks. I'm too sick over it. Typo. Okay, what about this one? Goodness, yes, I agree with you. I don't know what everybody is going through entirely, but what I've been through has really changed my life. I've lost friends, been accused of all kinds of things, and almost had my girlfriend turn against me during Gamergate. She read the wiki on it and thought I was some kind of Nazi for being pro-Gamergate. We have been abused, criticized, shamed, misrepresented, and we kept turning to the liberals. While the liberals, commie liberals, I'm not saying the caring classical woke liberals, certainly seem like the enemy. The real enemy was the elite and mainstream media. Another person, same story here. I don't really talk to my 70-year-old parent-in-laws anymore, or even my college-educated younger brother and his wife, because all they watch is MSNBC, CNN, and NPR, and they've learned only to hate a straw man of me. I can't talk to them about anything at all. Recently, Pops made some delusional comment about Trump being a crony capitalist giving kickbacks to his buddies in the prison industry. I was tired of the insanity and spoke up, saying Trump is actually working to break up all that sort of thing and have prison reforms. This guy got emotionally upset with me for even hinting at a defense of Trump's character. If only they knew what was going on here.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
So many thoughts.
Yeah. Just,
those people, they're so hurt. That makes me sad. It really makes me sad.
Well, right, because they're really grasping onto this thing of like, everything I thought is a lie, but now they just have to see, well, reality has to be a lie then.
Yeah.
But this goes back to, if Trump died tomorrow, if Trump got, like, resigned from office tomorrow, these people
no
are
one
not
will accept it.
They're not going to accept it. They're not going to be like they have way too much tied up in this. So
the only way it could be is if Trump, which will never happen, made a public address and said, "I did commit these things. I am going to resign my presidency because of these acts that I took. I should not be president of the United States."
No, but right. Even if he said that, they would spin it into, "No, he's being forced to say that. It's a deep would say all of those things. It's just so sad." Ugh.
But yeah, I guess just in general, like the lack of self-awareness and being able to own up to like, yeah, look, maybe you really did think Trump was going to bring jobs back to where you were or somehow address your condition you're in with bills, with medical care or whatever, and it didn't happen. And now you're starting to see that all these things are coming out that would indicate to most people that him being president isn't a good thing. But if you can't accept that, then you just have to go on to, well, I need something else to keep me feeling.
What are the five stages of loss, of mourning? This is like the denial stage, QAnon people. So next is like bargaining and then depression.
Yeah, but that's when people are unable to, like, if you had a whole conspiracy that like a whole group of people who was like, yeah, no, you're right. Your husband isn't dead. And here's right. the conspiracy where he's like hiding over somewhere and he's doing it all to save the world. Like then
he's working with Jesus
right.
To put the devil in jail right. and then he will come back.
Right. You would just never need to get through the denial stage. And yeah. I feel like that's where we might be.
It's the same shit with people who go to like psychics to feel good about, you know, because, you know, a psychic will just tell you some shit that you're like, oh, thank God. Okay, good. That's mm-hmm. really what's going on. And sure, I mean, on some level, people have intuition or whatever, but I think a lot of people need, sometimes they just need something outside of themselves to help explain away the bad shit that they're experiencing or feeling. And like, if your family's telling you, hey, this, you're full of shit, none of this is true, wake the fuck up. It's hard for someone to be like, yeah, you're right. I was really fucking dumb there, wasn't I?
Yep. Yeah.
That's just a thing that it's hard for people to say.
We've talked before, like one of the most surprising things I've learned just in reading up on most of the people who believe all this shit and who are, you know, like the Roger Stones of the world who are still Trump supporters. One of their core beliefs is that Nixon got railroaded. The whole Watergate thing
right.
was Nixon being done wrong by the liberal mainstream media. So all this shit that they're now coming out and openly believing, the basis for that has been brewing in the conservative movement 4 years. It's just they haven't felt strong enough to like come out and say it in public.
Right.
So yeah, that there's never going to be like these folks are never going to admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just important to like recognize, come from an empathetic point of view whenever you like meet one of these people in the wild.
Right.
Yeah, and just come from a place of like understanding and just not like shame them or try not to.
Yeah. I think, look, I think what we need to do is we should create a space for people to come see the light from Trump. And
yes.
look, if you were once a supporter,
right.
if you That's can okay. realize you fucked up, I'm not saying, hey, you're canceled forever.
Right.
Hey, because, I wore bondage pants for most of 2003.
Exactly.
I'm here now.
I just got rid of my puka shell necklace. Okay?
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been wearing
no,
it
No, I'm just
my...
disappointed that you got rid of it because well, it looked so cool on you,
It was
man.
The one time I've been wrong. The one time.
The one time.
Right, still good on MoviePass.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about what bondage pants exactly entails, and we'll be right back. And we're back, and this might give you a little clue as to when we're recording this, but so the Cohen story is evolving in real time, and the New York Times is now saying that he might be pleading guilty, but he might not be cooperating. So, and now it's just coming in that Manafort has been found guilty on 8 of the 18 charges that he was charged with. 10 of them are going to be called mistrials. So apparently there were 10 of the charges that the jury couldn't come to an agreement on, but that's still guilty on 8. And, you know, we don't know. So Cohen is pleading guilty. He may cooperate. There's also reports that he may not. And
or that his cooperation isn't even needed anymore.
Right.
It has no value to the special counsel. So who knows where
right.
Michael Cohen is?
He's shopped his wares around. He said, this is what I have. This is what I can
and
give
And they're like,
you.
Nah, we already got that.
Right.
I already got that tape.
So it could be Mueller doesn't need him. It could be Mueller doesn't want to make it clear that he needs him in, like as he's building his case out.
Yeah.
We don't totally know. But the one thing that is... you know, remarkable is that these two close associates of the president, Cohen and Manafort, are both now officially card-carrying guilty
criminals.
Ass criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Credentialed criminals
yes.
is what they will call them.
All right.
We'll see.
So ICE is in the news trying to get some of that good pub.
Yeah.
By deporting Nazis.
Ooh.
Yeah. They got a legit Nazi who was a prison camp guard. Which is objectively, yes, great.
How old?
95 years old.
Ooh.
Yep, sending him back to Germany. And everyone's like, okay, wow, ICE finally did a good thing. But this is actually part of a much darker, bigger policy that ICE has been implementing, which is trying to denaturalize American citizens. And they've been going through like up to cases 30 years old to try and find a way of screwing people out of their actual citizenship. So there have been cases of like, this is a version where denaturalization makes sense, like human rights violators, Nazis, war criminals. Sure, I probably shouldn't be an American citizen, but I mean, think of how many American citizens there are who are human rights violators. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But so normally that's reserved for the worst kind of people. But now this is part of Trump's, you know, administration to create basically two classes of Americans. There's people who were born in the U.S. Who are American citizens, and then foreign-born Americans who are now sort of like second-class citizens who are left to basically live in fear of like, wait, are they really trying to just take away the citizenship? Like, you know, having the permanence of citizenship helps people feel, you know, secure and give you an identity and help you move on from whatever it is you're trying to leave. And so this is a very terrifying policy. And like, you know, there are tales of people who, you know, like one woman was caught up in a fraud scheme, but cooperated like as a witness to bring the fraud thing down and like helped secure a conviction in this thing. And this was before she applied for citizenship. When she applied, everything was fine because she wasn't charged of a crime or anything like that. But I mean, she was going to be, but she avoided any kind of penalty for cooperating. So then ICE went back through and they're like, wait, you're named in this case. Oh, so you're a criminal and we're going to take away your citizenship. Someone who had been here for 27 years. Jesus. So this is like a thing where now they're trying to nitpick and find any way to take away someone's naturalized citizenship. And they're doing it under two circumstances. First is if they obtained their citizenship illegally, where they actually didn't meet the legal requirements and they lied or something like that.
Gotcha.
Or they just slipped through the cracks and managed to get a citizenship. The second is if they lied about or they concealed something during the application process that was actually relevant to their case. So if they're, you know, if they say, oh, have you been charged with a crime or whatever, and you leave that blank, oh, what's going on here? Even if it was something very small, they're now going back and combing through there to try and find any little way to try and take people's citizenship away. So it's just a very sad policy. And, you know, it's leaving these people very just extremely vulnerable. And, you know, it's, again, another way we're moving the goalposts of what an American is. It was first, you know, like if you aren't white enough, that's not American. And then, you know, that died down. And now it's like, well, even if you're legally an American, are you really, though? Because right. You were foreign born and now let's look through there and maybe take away your citizenship. Just a shit policy.
And are these all people that have passed like the citizenship test?
Yes. Yeah, these are people who are like straight up American citizens.
Who
right
like
now
studied, and even though like I was yeah born in the United States, they like know more about American history than I do.
Surely, right? Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
All right, cool, yeah, cool, 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 cool.
But yeah, that's, you know, I think it's in line with the terror on immigrant populations or people who have immigrated to this country. But yeah, I think it was just odd to see they're like, oh, ICE got this guy. It's like, well, you know, let's keep the think pieces up or the coverage up of people who are like being aggressively denaturalized.
But also like, so they got a Nazi. He's 95. So how old was he when World War II was going on? Like, was he a teenager? Like early 20s?
Yeah.
Was he like a... Doesn't tell him. Do you think he was a high ranking Nazi? Do you think he was like someone who was?
No, there was a guy who was pretty notorious that they deported like in 2009 who like was like, whoa.
Oh, really?
Zomg, Z-O-M-G Nazi. But yeah, I mean, this person was like, you know, like was like wanted. They were
right
looking for
okay
him.
Okay.
They put it together like, oh, wait, that's okay. We know
that's old. You. That's old man Jenkins down yeah the street.
Exactly.
This seems like a part of the culture war where it's like, oh, you're going to call ICE Nazis? No, ICE is deporting Nazis.
Yeah, right.
Like just 95-year-old
Nazis.
Straightforward.
It's like a good optics thing, but yes under a policy that is very fucked up. Because like even like my mom is like a naturalized citizen too. So you think about like, you know, I don't know, she wasn't doing anything fucked up or anything in the past, but like I think it makes you think, you're like, damn, they're really trying to even go after people who have been here, who have contributed, who are fully have participated in this thing called America. And,
but
you know,
do we know any data on like which countries of origin they might be targeting specifically?
It seems like, I mean, a lot of it has been, at least most of the stories that I had read that were more like anecdotal pieces to like, you know, go along with this idea of the denaturalization task force have been people from like Latin America, some from Africa. It all depends. I mean, if it's not America, it's a shithole.
Right.
So
it's not America
or a white country. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Norway. What was that? Is that what Kirsten Nielsen said in that one thing?
Yeah.
She's like, well, we'd love to have more Swedish immigrants or Norwegian right immigrants. Like,
uh-huh. Why would they? They have
yeah
free healthcare.
Yeah.
Why would they come here?
So there is a movement happening in the prisons of America.
Yeah.
The prisoners around the country are launching a 19-day strike to protest ultra-low pay, forced labor, and just generally poor conditions in prisons across the United States.
Yep.
If you've seen 13 or 13th.
13th, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing documentary that tells the story of how a lot of the slave economy was transferred to putting people in prison and, you know, people of color in particular, and forcing them into labor and having an economy based on these prisons contracting out the labor of their inmates. It's a great deal for companies because they only have to pay them like cents per hour, like 85 cents, 12 cents, I've heard.
Or in some states, not at all. Right. Like in 2017, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Texas, they were not paid for most of their work. Right. And yeah, the 13th Amendment, you know, bans slavery and involuntary servitude, and but very clearly says, except as punishment of crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people are going like, oh, so you're just redefining slavery to be like, are you a criminal? And when you look at sort of the statistics of like how our criminal justice system works, well, we have like less than 5% of the population and close to one quarter of the world's prison population. Yep. So what they are advocating for is something that needs to be addressed. And when you look at too, there were thousands of prisoners in California were fighting the fucking fires as part of like this work program. And the sad thing is like those work hours, normally people would work in these vocational programs would count towards a certification. But when you are a convict, you cannot get that certification. So it's almost all for naught for a lot of these inmates. And yeah, the 19-day strike is meant to end on the anniversary of the Attica riots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was in 47th anniversary of the Attica prison riot. So.
And so this is going to be a work strike, and also there will be hunger strikes involved too. So
is this going to be across the entire country?
I think it's
a lot of people, yeah.
Across multiple states, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's when you really look at how our private prison system works, especially from that user on 8chan who said the private prison industry. Yes, this is a booming fucking industry where people have employees you pay 85 cents an hour to do all kinds of things. And there are a lot of companies too that benefit from prison labor too, like Starbucks and other things like that. So,
yeah. Russia has been attempting to hack right-wing think tanks. This will presumably allow both sides to claim that Russians are trying to help the other guys. It's a right-wing think tanks who are hostile to Trump's message. Totally clear why that would matter in the run-up to the midterms. But the most interesting thing to me about this story is that Microsoft came with the announcement, which puts them in the mix of like an international incident. They're basically antagonizing Russia and all the hackers they have working on their behalf, you know, because they specifically called out a hacker team that works for Putin. So they're basically, you know, involving themselves in this war. But I don't know. It seems smart to me because Microsoft is sort of the lame, invisible fifth tech behemoth that
it is.
It's not as cool to complain about. And so they're associating their name with the side of solving the problem as opposed to being the problem. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. There was just a story with the fact that towns that use Facebook more were more likely to have violence against immigrants in Germany. And the study is pretty conclusive saying that Facebook leads to violence against immigrants in Germany. So you can be part of the solution or part of the problem. And maybe this is a way that you can convince some of these massive, powerful media behemoths and tech behemoths to start doing good work.
I wonder if it was because they were also, I know like those hackers were trying to replicate Microsoft sites. So like if you use like Outlook for like your work email or whatever, it's built on the Outlook program or platform, then they're like, oh, hold on, don't fuck around with Outlook. But yeah, I think it probably makes sense to go after never Trumper, you know, right think tanks, because they'll probably have a hand in probably running counter campaigns or publicity campaigns against, you know, Trump rubber stamp candidates in the midterms.
Right.
But yeah, I guess they could also be their optics, you know, publicity strategy to say, oh, we're not only going after people on the left. They also go after people on the right. So you never know.
They just want to fuck shit up.
Yeah, they could be helping the Democrats. I don't really know. What do I know?
Right. So we'll see. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Jackie, it has been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, listen to you?
Sure. So I'm Jackie is Awesome on Instagram and Twitter, but I put a U in between the W and the E on Awesome. So it's Awesome. Something I did in 10th grade, just kind of stuck. And then also you can find my podcast, Guilty Pleasure Podcast. If you enjoyed my dulcet tones during today's episode, mm-hmm. you should listen to this week's episode of Guilty Pleasure, which Jack and Miles are on, talking about the golden era of hip hop.
Who are they?
It's you two.
I'm Jack and Miles.
It's you two.
Oh, yes.
And you guys gave us a great conversation about the golden era of hip hop, which is awesome. I'm actually in the process of making a playlist based on all your recommendations.
Oh, wow.
When I was editing it, I was literally like keeping notes of all the things you guys were doing. And I was like, I got to make this into a playlist. I'll probably do it today.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, Guilty Pleasure Podcast and yeah, on the internet there.
Awesome. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there's a tweet that I just enjoyed that I pulled up a second ago, and it was from John Gabris, and it was, sometimes I wish I had a day job, then I realize I don't know if I can handle my coworkers watching me eat an entire cold roasted chicken over the garbage can every day for lunch.
Over a garbage can. The best detail
of
that.
A cold roasted chicken.
We've all done that.
I mean, yeah, who hasn't?
We've all been there, folks. Miles.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, and what's a tweet that you've been enjoying, friend?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet that I like is from at Shy Pixel. Roses are red, truth is truth, rape is rape, fuck at real Donald Trump. Great tweet.
That's
from
great.
Shy Pixel.
That's
really I just like
good.
Aggressive roses are red tweets. Yeah, I told you where you can find me. Yeah, and then yeah, check out Guilty Pleasures. We got to talk about Jack and I's favorite time in hip hop and buy the merch. TeePublic.
Was that like 2017?
2017. Oh, the golden
era. Our favorite time.
Whenever Gucci Gang came out.
Right.
That
exactly.
is just that those few weeks after Gucci Gang came out. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Tweet I've been enjoying is from Katie Golden, who is the human behind the Twitter account Birds Rights Activist. She tweeted, if you had told me 5 years ago that one day I would be a 10-foot-tall princess who could command the obedience of any tiger by holding it in my gaze to siphon its soul into my perfect red eyes, I wouldn't have believed you. Follow your dreams and kneel before my army of tigers. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information in the episode that we just talked about. You can find the footnotes in the description of the episode. So if you're, whatever you're listening to this on, just go to the episode, look at the information, and you will see links to sources of the stuff we're talking about. Miles,
yeah.
We also link off to the song that we ride out on, and you're about to tell us what that is.
Yes, this is a track from Own Ra, who's a, you know, a little beat maker, but this has like more of a vaporwave feel to it. And a vaporwave is kind of like, imagine you were in a haunted mall from the 80s and what the music would sound like in there. It's very like synthy, but spooky. And this just has that little synth vibe to it. I feel like I'm in an 8-bit version of a Lamborghini Countach driving through the city of lights or something like that. It's a very visual piece. And look, if you don't like that 80s sound, just go away, because this is the wave. This is Secretly, yes, by Own Ra.
And Alexander Michael gave me that Shaggy, aka I feel bad. It's not his fault, but I am no Shaggy. Cool. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.